Hello, and once again, thanks for dropping in. This is the 8th episode of Coffee Before Pants, a podcast for poets, writers, readers, pop culture nerds, as well as, of course, urban hermits. Today is January 4th, 2024. Happy New Year. I'm sure a lot of you are, just like me, relieved that the holidays are over, grimacing already when you drive by somebody's house that still has their decorations up. But take heart, there is still plenty of winter left, which hopefully means plenty of time to be curled up on the couch with a blanket, a hot cocoa, and a dozen or so from your ever-expanding to-be-read list. Not to make things worse, but on today's episode, I want to share a short list of books that are all-time favorites. These are books that have resonated and still resonate with me, even years after I've read them. I hope after hearing about these books, they make it onto your to-be-read list. Can books really change your life? What if you only read one kind of book all your life, or one book for some people that we won't mention? Your life would be, well, it would be dull. You have to read a variety of books. I read a lot of fiction, I do, and I do sprinkle in quite a bit of nonfiction, something I want to learn about. Books can change your life. You should try it sometime. As a side note, if you like this or previous episodes, please don't forget to like or subscribe via the podcast platform of your choice. If by chance you are interested in supporting Coffee Before Pants financially, I'll tell you about that at the end of the episode. But first, it's time for This Week in Literary History, with a couple of veers into music and film history as well. I will be expanding this section to include more music and film history as soon as I come up with a good name for the segment. As always, I'm open to suggestions. January 1st, 1919, author J.D. Salinger was born. Salinger is best known for his novels Franny and Zoe, and, of course, Catcher in the Rye. According to an article in April 2003 Modern Language Review, between 1961 and 1982, Catcher in the Rye was the most censored book in high school and libraries in the United States. Just as a side note, years ago when I worked at Downtown Books in Milwaukee, we somehow obtained a paperback copy of Catcher in the Rye that had all the swear words and vulgarities crossed out with a Sharpie marker. Keith, the owner, referred to it as the expurgated version. January 1st, 1818, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus, was published anonymously in London. After commercial success and much speculation as to the text's authorship, the second edition was published in 1823 with Mary Shelley's name on it. Shelley faced extreme sexism and criticism from critics, of course, who accused her of being unworthy of her father or her husband's name. Although the book is still widely read and taught today, Shelley died penniless and virtually friendless at the age of 53. In many circles, it has the renown of being the first science fiction novel. And the next entry is a little connected because it is about Lord Byron. January 2nd, 1814, the fourth and final canto of Lord Byron's Childe Harold's Pilgrimage was published, selling out 500 copies in 3 days. Byron considered the narrative poem his best work, and it contains the first appearance of what is now known as the Byronic Hero. January 2nd, 1920 marks the birthday of Isaac Asimov. Asimov was an American writer and professor of biochemistry at Boston University. During his lifetime, Asimov was considered one of the big three science fiction writers, along with Robert Heinlein and Arthur C. Clarke. A prolific writer, he wrote or edited more than 500 books. 500 books. That is, 3rd, 1892, John Ronald Reuel Tolkien, known to readers as J.R.R. Tolkien, was born in British-occupied South Africa. Of course, he is well-renowned writer, the author of The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings series. January 4th, 1965, poet and author T.S. Eliot died from emphysema and was interred in Poets' Corner in Westminster Abbey. January 4th, 1941, artist and animator Hayao Miyazaki was born in Tokyo City. Miyazaki is a Japanese animator, filmmaker, and manga artist, a co-founder of Studio Ghibli. He has attained international acclaim as a masterful storyteller and creator of Japanese animated feature films, and is widely regarded as one of the most accomplished filmmakers in the history of animation. January 4th, 1960, Albert Camus died in an auto accident in France. Camus was a French philosopher, author, dramatist, journalist, and political activist. He was the recipient of the 1957 Nobel Prize in Literature at the age of 44, the second youngest recipient in history. His works include The Stranger, The Plague, The Myth of Sisyphus, The Fall, and The Rebel. January 5th, 1886, Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was published in London. It was sold for 1 shilling in the UK and $1 in the United States. Despite its low price, the book sold 40,000 copies in its first 6 months. January 6, 1605, the first edition of Miguel Cervantes' groundbreaking novel Don Quixote de la Mancha was published in Madrid. Many of its first editions were sent via ship overseas to the New World, and the novel was a sensation in both hemispheres. And that is on my to-be-read list. I'm a brave soul in theory. January 6, 1878, the American poet Carl Sandburg was born in Galesburg, Illinois. Sandburg was the recipient of numerous Pulitzer Prizes and is best remembered for his unique poetry, especially his depiction of his hometown of Chicago. I want to tell you about several books that I absolutely love and have stuck with me, affected me throughout the years. This is not a complete list by any means. I'm 60 and I've read lots of books, and a lot of books have affected me, like I described. When I set out to do this episode, the list was much longer, and at least with the other books that didn't make it into this episode, well, I have material for future episodes. Trust me, there are always more books to read and to share. So these are in no particular order, not in order of when they were published or when I read them. I know there is a disorder, no pun intended, that when someone recommends a book that you immediately resist reading it. Have you ever done this? I've done that a lot. I still have not read a lot of the books that people say, oh, you've got to read this book. And that automatically triggers something that's like, maybe I shouldn't. Am I right? Be that as it may, I hope you come away with this list, from this list, with a few ideas to add to your to-be-read list. Let's dive in. The first book, this guy is amazing, and after reading this book by it's Shane Jones is the author. The book is Lightboxes. After reading this book, I read 3 others that just blew me away. Lightboxes, first published in 2009, is a dark fable about the inhabitants of a small village where it is always February. They find out that there is a godlike entity named February who is intent on punishing the village by banning flight of all kinds, kites, balloons, paper airplanes. February blots out the sun, covers the land with snow, freezes the rivers and lakes. After several children go missing and more adults are afflicted with a catatonic depression, others find the strength to wage war on February in the hopes of spring. Second book is a book called Galore by Michael Crummie. First published in 2009, it tells the story of a small coastal town called Paradise Deep. The story opens, a whale has beached itself on the shore. When the villagers cut the whale open, they find a man, silent, reeking of fish, but very much alive. The story proceeds with the villagers, all strange in their own way, coming to grips with the new addition to the town. this one might surprise some people. I like Stephen King. I read quite a few of them, up to Pet Sematary. And that was it. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I read the first book of the Dark Tower series, The Gunslinger, and I did enjoy that. But my favorite book by Stephen King, tops, is Salem's Lot. Say what you want about Stephen King, but this is not only my favorite book of his large canon of novels, it is possibly one of my favorite vampire stories. Originally published in 1975, it is an amazing follow-up to Carrie, his first novel. Most of you know the basic story. An unspeakable evil, who happens to be a vampire, moves into the small New England town that already has a fairly sinister history. If you've only seen the TV adaptations, those are, for the most part, great, especially for TV adaptations. But if you've seen those, do yourself a favor and read this book. It is scary. Next book, and I've probably talked about this to everyone I know over and over again. It is All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. It tells the story of Marie Laure, a blind French girl who lives in Paris near the Museum of Natural History where her father works. When she is 12, she and her father flee to the walled citadel of Saint-Malo. In a parallel timeline, it tells the story of Werner, a German boy who is fascinated with radios, teaching himself to repair and build them. Eventually, he grows up and becomes a soldier in Hitler's army. And I missed the part. I skipped over the part that the reason that Marie Laure and her father flee from Paris was the German occupation. This has to be one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. This is no hyperbole. It's a rare book that can bring me to tears, even though I'm probably would be diagnosed with Stendhal syndrome, if that is such a thing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. It was just, it swept me away. All the Light We Cannot See won the 2014 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, most deservedly. I'm sure most of you knew that I would be putting a book by this author in. I can't stop talking about him. The book is Kafka on the Shore by Haruki Murakami. This is the book that turned me on to a lifelong admirer of Haruki Murakami. There is a wide array of strange and unusual characters, but the main focus is on Kafka Tamura, who runs away from his home to search for his mother and sister, and Nakata, a simpleton, who was afflicted by a strange occurrence when in primary school, of which he never recovered. The story is a tour de force of magical realism, which I have touched on before. It's not the first book that I read by Murakami. The first book I read was The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle, and it's a long book. Murakami has several short books. You know, those are my favorite kind of books, as you've heard on my other podcast, other episodes. I recommend this one as a starter, or smaller ones. I have all of them. I own all of them. I haven't read all of them, but it's one of my life's goals. And next book. I know the first thing you think of when someone says Chuck Palahniuk is the novel Fight Club. Everybody knows about Fight Club, even though you're not supposed to tell us anything about Fight Club. Don't get me wrong, I love that book. But my favorite book by Chuck Palahniuk is Lullaby. First published in 2001, it's the story of Carl Strader, who is investigating SIDS, that's Sudden Infant Death Syndrome, for a news feature. He finds that a string of infant deaths were caused by a lullaby read to them. He knows that is no run-of-the-mill lullaby, but an African culling song that was read to sick and dying children so they would die more sooner, I guess, and have no longer to suffer. He knows this lullaby because of a sad occurrence. He read it to his daughter 20 years prior. The story is his obsessive search to search for all of the copies of a book that contains this culling song, which is a monumental task, in order to destroy them. Along the way, he meets some very interesting characters. It's not a dark book. I mean, it is a dark book, but it's not as dark as you think. It is actually, there's some humor in there. Please, don't limit yourself to just Fight Club. Lullaby is a great book. And next we come to The Last Magician by Jeanette Turner Hospital. That is a book I've spent at least 30 years recommending it for people. If they haven't read it, they're sick of hearing about it. It's a lyrical, dark story about four childhood friends who witnessed the death of a fifth 25 years previously. Hospital takes the reader through the underside of Sydney, employing the metaphor of Dante's seven circles of hell. I was smitten from this book, with this book from the first page. I won't tell you any more about it. The first page will hook you if you are any kind of classical reader. And the next book, I'm kind of breezing through these. I should have added more books. The next book is Dr. Sleep, not by Stephen King. Dr. Sleep by Madison Smart Bell was the first of many of his novels that I've read. Adrian is a hypnotherapist who is ironically also an insomniac. In his waking hours, of which there are many, he also becomes fascinated with 16th century philosopher Giordano Bruno, who was a philosopher, alchemist, chemist. After a series of serial murders of children, Scotland Yard enlists his assistance with the investigation. Before he was known for historical fiction, Madison Smart Bell wrote gritty, dark, urban stories. Most of his characters were psychically damaged, a little flawed, someone's just not right, but there's always a chance for some kind of redemption. As a side note, like I hinted at before, this book predates the Stephen King book by a good 35 years. You can't copyright titles. And then here's another one that's a different writer than a lot of people think. Before Ian McEwan was known for his novels like Atonement and On Chesil Beach, which are just, they're not run-of-the-mill. They're beautiful books. But there was a darkness in McEwan's early books that was what attracted to me. His novel, The Senate Garden, published in 1978, is one of his most disturbing. It is a story of four children who work to hide the fact that their parents, first their father and then their mother, have died. They hide the bodies in the garden, which they pour over with cement. There's the name. They need to hide this. Their need to hide this was to prevent them from being split up to different families, different orphanages. Lyrical, dark, suspenseful, it evokes The Lord of the Rings and to, well, a lesser degree, Flowers in the Attic. I won't be responsible for spoiling the ending. I would not recommend watching the trailer of the film because it gives the surprise away. Don't ask me how I know that. I knew how the book ended before it did, although I still read it, because of the damn preview of the film they made of it. I may have to have another episode with books recommendations. I made a list, a long list, and the books I featured in this episode are barely half the list. So the last one is A Brief History of the Dead, Kevin Brockmeyer. I was torn between this book and Brockmeyer's The Illuminations, which I read most recently. Both are fantastic and fantastical books. A Brief History of the Dead was the first book, so it's only fair I feature that one first. Brief History of the Dead is a beautiful, bittersweet story of the city. The city is inhabited by those who have recently departed from life, but remain alive in a fashion until they are no longer remembered by friends and loved ones. It's an intriguing premise, right? it was one of those books that I was sad to see end. The story draws you in and just does not let go. We've all read books like that. Well, I think it's time to wrap up this episode. I wish I would have added more books, but like I said, there's material for another episode. I hope you have enjoyed what you've heard. As I mentioned at the first part of this episode, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to support my endeavors financially, there are a couple of ways to help. First off, I have a Redbubble store where you can purchase Coffee Before Pants merchandise, such as apparel, stickers, and other items. The link is redbubble.com/people/MarkBHill/shop. And the other way is to kind of like buy me a coffee. Coffee.com, that's ko-fi.com, is a virtual tip jar where you can support my podcast for buying me a virtual coffee or two. And that link is coffee.com. Coffee.com, ko-fi.com/coffeebeforepants. I'll post the links in the description as well. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope you all have a new year full of promise. And of course, I hope you find a lot of good books to read. Just as a side note, after meeting and or listening to the podcast for editing purposes, I realized I had said something wrong. I was talking about the book, The Cement Garden, and I said it evoked The Lord of the Rings, and what I meant to say, it evoked Lord of the Flies by William Golding. I wasn't paying attention to what I was saying, obviously. And tonight I leave you with an excerpt from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. It's one of my favorite passages. This is what you shall do. Love the earth and sun and the animals. Despise riches. Give alms to everyone that asks. Stand up for the stupid and crazy. Devote your income and labor to others. Hate tyrants. Argue not concerning God. Have patience and indulgence towards the people. Take off your hat to nothing known or unknown, or to any man or number of men. Go freely with powerful, uneducated persons, and with the young, and with the mothers of families. Read these leaves in the open air every season of every year of your life. Re-examine all you have been told at school, or church, or in any book. Dismiss whatever insults your soul, and your very flesh shall be a great poem, and have the richest fluency, not only in its words, but in the silent lines of its lips and face, and between the lashes of your eyes, and in every motion and joint of your body. You have been listening to Coffee Before Pants. Have a great day.